much development in Vrindavan about 500 years ago, 400 years ago, 300 years ago. There was much development in Vrindavan, particularly since the time of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. It is said by Lord Nityananda that he went to Vrindavan, and when he went to Vrindavan, he found it is empty. He came back to Navadvip and he told the devotees, "I went to Vrindavan, the throne is empty, the Sringasan is empty, Krishna is no longer in Vrindavan." Excuse me, Krishna is not in Vrindavan, but Krishna has come to Navadvip. Krishna has appeared in Kali Yuga as Gauranga. Krishna in golden color, not in black color. Krishna in yellow color, golden color. And he proclaimed this to all the devotees, that Krishna is not in Vrindavan, but Krishna is in Navadvip as Gauranga, Mahaprabhu, Sri Chaitanya, Krishna Chaitanya. Then after some time, Sri Krishna Chaitanya, he returned to Vrindavan. He went back to Vrindavan. So some say, at that time Krishna returned to Vrindavan. And after that time, then many wonderful things began to happen in Vrindavan. Many of the ancient deities of Krishna, they began to re-manifest in Vrindavan. Just after the time of Krishna and the time of the Yadus, you know about the Yadus, Yadu dynasty, very big dynasty, mainly sitting in Dwarka. Then they were all destroyed. There was a big fighting and they all gone from this world. They went back to Vaikuntha, back to Goloka. But it just so happened that one of the queens of the sons of Krishna, in Dwarka, Krishna had some lakhs and lakhs of sons. Not two, not three, not four, not ten, lakhs of sons. Krishna had 16,000 queens. In each house, 10 sons. So, lots of sons. And, what is her name? One of the queens of Krishna's sons was in her family house. And she was giving birth to one child. At that time, all the Yadus gone in one big day. All gone. This then queen and her son, only surviving Yadus. I forget her name. But later on, this boy grew up and he became known as Arjuna. He was the king of all of India at that time. Was Maharaj Parikshit. And Maharaj Parikshit's son was named Janmanjaya. And Maharaj Parikshit, he also gone from this world. There was some cursing. And he is bitten by the snake. And he also gone from this world. So all great devotees of Krishna, they're all going from this world, leaving only few people behind. So this Janmanjaya, he became king of the world after Maharaj Parikshit. And he appointed this Brajanath, his name is Brajanath, he appointed as king of Mathura, Mathura Mandal, that area of Vrindavan, he became king. So that king, he is actually the grandson of Lord Krishna. He became the king. And his mother was still living. So then what they did is they started to install all the original deities of Krishna. Before that time, there are no deities of Krishna in the world. Only there are deities of Vishnu, Narayan, and other incarnations like Narsingha and Varaha and so forth. But there are no deities of Krishna in the world at that time. So they established the first deities of Krishna. These deities were made and how they were installed, do you know? With Abhishekam and all these things? They did, But the main thing was that Brajanath's mother would see the deity because she had seen Krishna. She was the last surviving person who had actually seen the beautiful face of Krishna, had seen the lotus feet of Krishna, who had seen the Tribhanga Swarup, means threefold bending, Krishna's bending style with his flute. She had seen. So they would make the deities and they would be approved by her. When she would approve, then that was considered fully ready and perfect. Then those deities were put in different places. The most famous one of all was Govindadev, for which this ashram is named Govindaji Gardens, and our small Govinda and Radha Govinda. Govindadev, Madan Mohan, the lifter of Govardhan Hill, Gopal. Then also Brajanath, he placed four Shiva Lingams in Vrindavan. One in Vrindavan, most famous, called Gopeshwar Mahadev. One Shiva Lingam is here, also called Gopeshwar Mahadev. What is the meaning of all these things? There is one little pond here. When it was opened, we brought water from Vrindavan, from one place called Govindakund, Govindaji Gardens, Govindakund, Gopeshwar Mahadev, Radha Govinda. What is the meaning of this? This is a mini Vrindavan. This is a small half-acre Vrindavan on the bank of the Kaveri, which if you close your eyes a little like this, then you will see Jamuna. If you raise your consciousness a little more, then you will see Vrindavan is here, where Krishna is performing his pastimes on the banks of Lake Jamuna, near Govindakund, on the side of Giriraj Govardhan. Vrindavan is not a place 2,000 kilometers from here. Vrindavan is a place in consciousness. When Mahaprabhu came through South India, any river he saw Jamuna. Any mountain he saw Govardhan. Any forest he saw Vrindavan. He said, my mind is Vrindavan. So through the chanting of the holy name of Krishna, we come to this consciousness, Krishna consciousness. Not only is Krishna everywhere, Vrindavan is everywhere. Krishna never leaves Vrindavan. So unless we come to Vrindavan, we cannot find Krishna. Krishna never leaves Vrindavan. Only he goes outside of Vrindavan in his various expansions. He does not leave Vrindavan. So to find Krishna, we must find Vrindavan. Then once the devotees asked about Vrindavan, where is Vrindavan? And Srila Sridhar Maharaj gave answer, where we find Srimati Radharani, that is Vrindavan. You cannot have Vrindavan without Srimati Radharani. Not that just you have Krishna and Vrindavan. That is not Vrindavan. There must be Srimati Radharani. Vrindavan Ishwari. She is the controller of Vrindavan. Krishna is Vrindavan Ishwar, but she is the Vrindavan Ishwari. And of the two, Srimati Radharani holds a superior position, the supreme controller of Vrindavan. So he told, wherever you will find Srimati Radharani, that is Vrindavan. Next question was, how to find, or where will we find Srimati Radharani? How will we know where to find Srimati Radharani? Something like this, the next question was. Then? He said, where you find the foot dust on the head of that devotee, when you find the foot dust of Radharani on the head of any particular devotee, then you found Vrindavan, that place. So it comes down. We're looking for Krishna. We're looking for Vrindavan. We're looking for Srimati Radharani. Ultimately, we must come to the devotee of Krishna, the devotee of Srimati Radharani. The devotees of Radha Krishna, Radha Govinda. Where they live, where they are, that is Vrindavan. So, the original Vrindavan as we know it today with many, many temples, that was set up by the grandson of Lord Krishna. What was his name? Brajanath. Why is in Braj? Braj. Nath means, well, as a master. His name was Brajanath. So, then things went on in a grand style for a long time. But everything in this world has its time. Even those great devotees who come here, they also have a certain time here, and then they go from here. So, after a while, Brajanath is also gone. Brajanath's mother also gone. Many great devotees also gone. But Vrindavan remained, and many temples were there. Then came the invasions of India from the Turks, the invaders from Muslim countries. They invaded the north of India. Even Alexander the Great, 2,000 years ago, he invaded the north of India. There were many invasions. And during some of those times of intense war, the devotees, they hid all the deities. They hid them all. They were all hidden in caves. They were put into wells. In this way, Krishna left Vrindavan. Under the pretense of a war, Krishna left Vrindavan. He left Vrindavan. And Vrindavan was empty, just fields, for close to 1,000 years, even. Close to 1,000 years. Then Krishna returned to Vrindavan as Mahaprabhu. And after that, Mahaprabhu sent the Goswamis. Particularly, he sent Rupa and Sanatan Goswami first to go to Vrindavan and to rediscover all the places of Krishna's pastimes. And when they went to Vrindavan, the different deities of Krishna, they again got found. Some were in the hill, some were in the cave, in different places. They were buried in the earth. And one by one, so many of the deities of Krishna, they again reappeared. They were manifested. Of these deities, there are three which are the most important. They're known as Madan Mohan, Govinda Dev, and Gopinath. Radha Madan Mohan, Radha Govinda, and Radha Gopinath. But originally, it was only Madan Mohan, Govinda Dev, and Gopinath, and Radharani was not found there. In the time of Brajanath, Radharani was not present there. Radharani was present in Krishna Leela, but that is a secret thing. That is a most secret thing. And even many of the devotees who saw Krishna's Leela were not aware of the position of Srimati Radharani. A very secret thing. So, if that was such a secret thing then, even amongst devotees, then we should not think that we can just boldly make the position of Radharani known to people who are not even devotees. The talk about Radharani is a secret thing, not a public thing. Once one devotee from here, he went to some Ramakrishna mission on Shivaratri for some program. If we know it is Ramakrishna mission, we won't go. But he didn't know which mission it is, so he went. Then when he got there, he found out it is Ramakrishna mission. And it's Shivaratri in Bangalore somewhere. So when he came back, he told me about it. And he said he gave a talk. He gave a talk about Gopeshwar Mahadev and how Lord Shiva became a gopi and how Radharani is the dearmost gopi. And I told him, no, no, Prabhu, you never do that. In the last place you talk this thing is Ramakrishna mission. You go to Ramakrishna mission, you talk bogus Bhagavans and smash bogus Bhagavans. You don't talk about Lord Shiva becoming a gopi and who is the dearmost gopi and all these things. You don't talk those things in the public. You don't talk those things outside. Do you follow? You understand? So, the original deities were like that, Madan Mohan, Govinda Dev, Gopinath, and so forth. And Radharani's form, deity, was mostly not found there. Generally we say not found there at all. Then, after Mahaprabhu, during the time of Mahaprabhu, then the position of Srimati Radharani, then some light was shown to that. Then that was revealed during the time of Mahaprabhu. Before, it is a secret which so few people know, you can count them on one hand. Very, very few. And the Goswamis went to Vrindavan. First, Krishna reappeared. And a little later on, then great devotees like Janavi Mata, she brought and arranged for the different deities of Radharani to join. To join with Govindadev, Madan Mohan, and all the other deities. Then Radharani also appeared after Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Who is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? Krishna. But what type of Krishna he is? Many types of Krishnas. Many types of cowherd Krishnas. Also so many Vaikuntha Krishnas. You can see in many places if you go in so many Hoysala temples in Karnataka. You'll see very beautiful Venu Krishna. Which Krishna that is? Is that Vrindavan Krishna? Which type of Vrindavan Krishna? Many types of Krishnas are there. Krishna in different planes. That is Vaikuntha Krishna. Sometimes we may say Dwarka Krishna, because they will show Rukmini Satyabhama. They never show Radha Krishna, Astashaki. Radha Krishna means Vrindavan. Astashaki means Vrindavan. Rukmini Dwarkadish means, Rukmini Satyabhama means Dwarka. Dwarka means Vaikuntha. So all these Krishnas throughout South India, all over, that is Vaikuntha Krishna. I've only seen one place where you can find Vrindavan Krishna with Radharani in South India. Do you know where that is? Have you been there? Where? Govindji Garden. And that's not just boasting, that's true. In Trivandrum, somebody told me once, there's one Temple Maharaj, and Radharani is there, and he's been there since about 50 years. First there was one temple of Krishna, very old, been there 50 or 100 years or something, and recently they also installed the Radharani. You should go see. It's just near the Padmanabh temple in Trivandrum, just out the front gate. So I went there. Very nice deity of Krishna, very old one. And inside, like a garbhagudi, like this small one. Then standing over here, like Garuda, there was one Radharani. Like Hanuman or Garuda, because they heard Radharani's devotee of Krishna. So what is that? That's that Vaikuntha mood. You always put Garuda here, looking at Bhagavan, or Hanuman looking like this. You always put like this. Nandi is looking to Shiva. So they had Radharani looking. That is not Vrindavan. That is not Vrindavan Krishna. So, the Vrindavan conception was found in Vrindavan and in Navadvip, in Nadia, after the time of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Then, to some extent, that also spread to Orissa. So, I go back to Vrindavan. The main three deities of Vrindavan, Madan Mohan, Govindadev, and Gopinath, these three deities correspond to three levels of devotional service. Sambandha, Abhideya, Prayojana. Sambandha means the beginning, to reestablish your lost relationship with Krishna. To enter the plane of consciousness that I am a servant of Krishna. I am servant of Krishna. Krishna is my Supreme Lord. I am for His service. Krishna is the Supreme Enjoyer. I am to give pleasure to Krishna. All these type of fundamental basic thinking are called sambandha. What is what? What I am. foundational understanding. You follow? Madan Mohan is the deity in charge of that area of consciousness and service. That plane. And Sanatan Goswami, he is also the servant of Madan Mohan. And Madan Mohan revealed to him when he was in Vrindavan, means manifest to him, and he worships Madan Mohan. And Sanatan Goswami, he is known as the Sambandha Acharya. And he writes books in that category, mainly, Sambandha, to help us establish our relationship with Krishna. Particularly the most prominent book Sanatan Goswami has written, that is called Brihat Bhagavatam Amrita. So, so then the next is Govindadev. Govindadev means the predominating deity of Abhideya. Abhideya is the stage you are in now. If you have got proper sambandha, understanding, and you believe it, that you are the servant of Krishna, that is the purpose of your life, why you have got this life, what will be your forever, ever life, I am servant of Krishna, then you are situated in sambandha, then you can enter Abhideya. Abhideya means the practicing life of Krishna consciousness. And that is for the bulk of your whole life. Abhideya. Practice in serving Krishna. Krishna consciousness must be steady. You must be steady in your service. Not one day up, one day down, one left, one right. Steady in your service. Do not become the servant of your mind. Your mind will drag you through the dirt like a wild buffalo. Do not chase your mind. When your mind takes off, grab a stick and beat it into submission. Do you know what your mind is? It's just like a rock rolling down a hill. Mind is a material element. You are not the mind. There are eight material elements, and mind, mana, is one of them. Another one is bhumi, earth. They are material elements. You are not, are you this bone? Are you the bones? You are not the mind also. That is just another type of bones. Material elements. And intelligence also, you are also not intelligent. Many people are proud of their intelligence. People in the mental plane are always chasing their mind. People in the bodily bone platform are always trying to enjoy their tongue and their bellies. And all their senses. They want to enjoy the body. Then the mental plane, chasing what my mind says, I'm chasing it like a fox chasing a rabbit or a boy chasing a ball rolling down a hill. And then the intelligent, they're proud. We're not intelligent, we're not mind, we're not this body. What we are? Atma. And what is Atma? What is soul? That is a unit of serving consciousness. That is a unit of dedicated consciousness. It's part and parcel of Krishna. To serve Krishna like the hand serves the body. So Krishna consciousness means you must have determination. You must have steadiness. Must become dhira. Must become fixed on the goal. Not like the clouds. Like the sun. You were fixed and making gradual progress to the zenith. The clouds, they're huge. You see old clouds. Again, you look to God. And always moving around. And they have no shape. The cloud has no shape. It's great fun to just watch the clouds. And they just change. They never stand in one position, ever. They're always just moving and changing. So that's not dhira. The sun is fixed in its orbit, in its progressing. We should be more like that. Steady. Not just trying to go fast like a shooting star, but just progressing. These things are required. This is where you put your conscious effort. Try to do that. Try to be steady and not chase after things. Every time in Western countries, every time the child feels hungry, they feed it. Now, that's all right when a small baby, but after about 10, 11, 12, it's time to start regulating eating. Not every time hunger comes, feed that. That's not good. But in Western countries, parents always do that. They feed. The kids are walking around all day long eating on something. We must regulate hunger. Feed hunger 3 times a day or 4 times a day, but with some regulation. If hunger screams, let it scream for a few minutes. Then you can take care. You don't. As soon as it screams, you feed hunger. If so, then you are the servant of hunger. And hunger, it is said that we have eaten a jungle and still we are hungry. It is said, as a pig, we have eaten a mountain of stool, still we are hungry. And then as human beings, we will satisfy hunger with a few bowls of rice and a few pakoras. No, hunger will be there. Every day hunger will be there. You don't have to worry that it will go away. Like if a guest comes to your house and you don't feed him, he'll go away. You don't have to worry. If hunger comes and you don't feed him, he'll stay. He doesn't go away. So, in the Abhideya, many things we have to consider, many things we have to do. We have to get a focus. We have to develop determination. Patience also. One has to have patience. But foremost and above everything, one has to have enthusiasm. You have to be enthusiastic. Enthusiasm. Enthusiastic to do what? To do all things related to Krishna. You have to be enthusiastic to wake up. You have to be enthusiastic to take bath and dress and put on tilak for Krishna. You do not do them begrudgingly. Oh yeah, put on tilak. Not like that. Enthusiastically. Happily. Of course we say, okay, if you're not feeling it, then pretend. We say like that in the beginning. You don't feel enthusiasm? Make a show. Show it. Pretend that you're enthusiastic. But actually you have to become really enthusiastic. Enthusiastic to chant kirtan, enthusiastic to chant on your beads, enthusiasm to serve the deity. Serving the deity is not a job, government job, that because we do this we get some benefit. No. Even if we don't get any benefit, we will serve the deity. The other day I told the boys, you offer every day one day, one sweet for Lord Nrisimhadev in my veranda. So they offered the first 2 days, then they make the offering, then they offer me the prasadam. I told, no, you give to the other devotees. And then the third day, then I took that prasadam, also offered to Lord Nrisimhadev. Why? This is the practice. I am not telling you, offer to Lord Nrisimhadev so I can eat. You offer Lord Nrisimhadev, I will not eat. I may not eat. I am not offering to Lord Nrisimhadev so I can eat. I am offering to Lord Nrisimhadev so he can eat, or to Giriraj so he can eat. Then devotees, they will take prasadam. But then eventually I must also take prasadam because I'm trying to be a devotee also. Sometimes cooks will cook something very nice for Krishna. They will go to Krishna and they will intentionally not take any of that prasadam. They'll take something else. Sometimes. Why? Just to practice. It is not for me that I have cooked this offering. It is for Krishna, and it will be taken by Krishna's devotees. Now that's a self-imposed type of thing. But the point is, we have to come to that platform that we are doing things enthusiastically for Krishna, not that we are doing them enthusiastically just because we will have the feast also. Do you follow? Sometimes someone is cooking sweet rice for Krishna and they can't wait to eat it themselves. Now that's not so good. That's why, actually, everybody and anybody cannot go in the kitchen. When we preach in Western countries, and you have some preaching center, and people are very interested about the prasadam, really interested. So they usually get interested, how do you cook it? So in those countries, everybody cooks, and while cooking, they take the spoon, and they stick it back in the pot. So it's very dangerous to let them near the kitchen. There have been situations when devotees cooking a halava at a university, doing some program, cooking there, going to give prasadam to the people, and somebody come up and just go, looks good. That's quite common. Of course, it's not as bad as in China. I told you about that. You spit into it. That's how they see if the ghee is hot. We take a little water and throw, and the ghee comes. And the Chinaman, he spits into the pot. The new person is seeing it is being cooked, and immediately they're thinking, this is going to taste good. This is going to be good. So, we have to just check ourselves against that. Don't let our mind run to enjoy what we are cooking for Krishna. First offer to Krishna. So sometimes, I'm saying that sometimes that practice is there. Devotee will cook a nice thing for Krishna. It will be offered to Krishna and taken by devotees. And lastly, that person may take a little of that. Now, it's not all the time, but sometimes. That's just in the practice of doing like that. You follow?